A judge says investors swindled by Bernard Madoff should be paid based on how much money they put in or took out. That decision is considered likely to be appealed by investors who want to be paid based on profits that they thought they had made. Trustee Irving Picard says basing payouts on trades that were never made would be unjust. Under this formula, some investors might even owe money. Madoff whistleblower Harry Markopoulos is back in the spotlight with a new and very revealing book, and our Mary Thompson sat down for an all-access interview with him. Good to see you, Mary.
Hey there, Sue. You know, for 9 years, Madoff whistleblower Harry Markopoulos tried to get the SEC to blow the cover off of Bernie Madoff's $60 billion Ponzi scheme. Now, in his new book, No One Would Listen, Markopoulos writes of the SEC's attempt to cover up its own incompetence. As Markopoulos tells us, the SEC's cover-up began right after Madoff confessed to the crime.
When I got the warning phone call the day after Madoff turned himself in, 8 a.m. sharp, I get a phone call from a trusted source high up in the SEC, called me out of the blue and said, Harry, we've been told we don't know you, we've never met with you, it's clear that Operation Cover-Up has begun here, watch your back. They had a lot to hide, and I knew that immediately. Madoff wasn't going to kill me, but that didn't mean the SEC wasn't going to come in and take my computers and my documents and destroy them. And so I had to rush home and safeguard those documents.
During those 9 years, when you tried repeatedly to go to them and tell them, inform them about Madoff, what would you say was, I don't want to describe it as a highlight, but the worst example of the SEC at its worst during that time?
I'm calling the SEC branch chief in New York, Megan Chung, saying I have inches and inches of documents. I have dozens of phone numbers with contact information of witnesses that you can call about this case and get to the bottom of it very quickly. She never made one call.
You've spoken with Chairwoman Shapiro, and subsequently there have been changes made at the SEC. Do you think they've gone far enough?
If you give them a bounty, there'll be a lot of heads coming through that door on silver platters, like I delivered Madoff's head on a silver platter to the SEC, and they refused the case.
Now, the SEC declined comment on Markopoulos' allegations, but it only or wasn't only the SEC turning a blind eye to Madoff's shenanigans. In his book, Markopoulos writes Wall Street shares some of the blame for letting Madoff's scheme go on for as long as it did. I'll have more on that coming up at 2:20 Eastern on Street Signs. And for more on my interview with Markopoulos, please go to CNBC.com.
Can I ask you one question here just to refresh my memory? What was Markopoulos' stake in this? How did he become aware of it and why?
He actually was working for a rival firm. And he was a hedge fund manager. And so one of his colleagues, a salesman, went down and met with another hedge fund manager who told them about Madoff. And so he came back and he said, can you mimic what he's doing? Can you use this split strike option strategy that he's using to generate these steady returns? And Markopoulos looked at it and he said, no, I can't do it because it's not true. You can't generate these types of returns. It's a fraud.
All right, Mary, thank you very much. And again, if you want to see more, go on CNBC.com for the full interview. The SEC, is it really the bad guy here for failing to pick up on that Madoff Ponzi scheme? Are there other agencies that are not doing their job either? Seems like they probably must be. Joining us to discuss this are Mark Walsh, co-host of the radio show Left Jab. You can imagine which side he's coming from. And Matt Welch, he is the editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. Welcome to both of you. Mr. Welch, is the fact that a regulatory agency fails, and fails miserably in some cases, reason to abolish it?
I don't know if it's reason to abolish it, but it's certainly reason to recognize the limitations that regulatory agencies have and the human failings that they have. I think we have a tendency as Americans to think, well, if something fails, that's because there wasn't sufficient amount of regulation. When you look at it, you were talking earlier on the show about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We're talking about government-run and now government-owned agencies, and yet they were some of the biggest traders of derivatives and other kinds of exotic contracts, and they're in a world of hurt right now. Regulation does not mean automatically better governance. In many cases, it means worse governance.
So, what about that, Mr. Walsh? Does Matt have a point here? Our knee-jerk reaction, usually when we see a regulatory failure, is to say we need to have more regulation. We need to get more intense. We need to spend more money on it. Is that necessarily the case?
No, it's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, I actually agree with the other guest, which is we have enough regulations on the books to take care of Securities and Exchange. We have enough regulations to take care of the FTC, the FDA, the FAA. Fill in the government group there that you want to talk about, even our gun regulations. There are enough of those. The issue is enforcement. That is exactly the point here. Just because the SEC failed doesn't mean we should abolish it. Just because your house is robbed doesn't mean you stop having police. The issue right now, I would suggest, is the leadership of the SEC. And Chris Cox and some of his predecessors were not paying attention.
Hey, Matt, isn't there the possible downside of too much protection? If I really believe that, there's a consumer protection financial agency, now I don't have to read the fine print on my credit card deal.
Absolutely. I mean, if you read some of the Madoff stories, like the 5-trillion-word part series in Vanity Fair, and you talk and you listen to the people who describe their relationship with him, it's a classic Ponzi scheme of people who were investing out of social anxiety as much as anything else. There are no regulations that you can ever devise for making that go away. And also, I mean, exactly that. You are going to create a moral hazard where people think, well, we're going to have enough regulation to somehow...
Mark, yeah, to the same degree that maybe the SEC actually leads to abdication of personal responsibility because they're going to protect you so you don't have to worry about it, the same way the ratings agencies were going to protect you because they were going to tell you that whether a bond was worth what it was supposedly worth. Every time we add a layer of protection, you don't actually have it, right? I mean, that's the problem with the creation of these protection agencies.
Well, caveat emptor, right? Let the buyer beware. That's been a rule that many of us have found it true in our own lives for many, many years. Look, regulations aren't designed to make the language surrounding your credit card clear, necessarily. What they're supposed to do is to stop the credit card from lying to you about what they're doing in one area and not doing it in another. The regulations work. What I would suggest to you, it's very important to remember about Madoff, is he built this over decades. He was on the NASD board of directors. He built these relationships over decades. It's not as if he arrived
that's
one day and started lying.
That's proving the other guy's point. Yeah. That's proving your opponent's point here. I mean, that's the problem
One thing that we forget, I mean, there's a lot of talk in the media of like, Bush was this big deregulatory president, and that's the problem. Bush added 90,000 regulators to the federal payroll after Clinton actually reduced that number by about 1,000. Bush spent more money on regulation than any president since Nixon. So it's not just a question of like prioritizing or spending more money.
Well, where did he add them? Where were those regulators?
He didn't add them at the SEC, Matt.
Where were they? Here's my point.
Wait, the SEC has gotten huge increases in their budgets over the over decades because they always say, "Oh, we don't have enough money
to do what we need to do." Where did the 90,000 new regulators come from? Where'd they go? Where are they?
Listen, you can spend $50,000 a year and send your son to Harvard, but unless he works at Harvard, it doesn't make sense. This is my point. You can hire regulators all day. Chris Cox, I would suggest from the top down, was not paying attention to these warnings.
Yeah,
that's
Matt
the
Welch,
issue
where,
here.
Where were those 90,000 added? What agencies?
They're scattered throughout the bureaucracy. I mean, the SEC certainly got their fair share. The FCC got their fair share. I mean, bureaucracies exist to regenerate themselves.
I'm sure the Department of Education got a 70% increase in its budget under Bush, so they probably got a huge number as well.
One of the issues is whether or not the regulations that are on the books now, if they are enforced correctly, would be sufficient. Do you think they are, or is it also that not only that the personnel miss things, but that the regulations are not sufficient?
Let's think about what they were actually prioritizing during the last 8 years. They were going on these sort of witch hunts for Martha Stewart for giving comments about her stock price. That had really little to do with what was actually happening in the real economy. They were obsessed with insider trading. They were talking about getting different kind of board members.
That are on the books sufficient to do the job if they are enforced correctly?
Hey, can I ask that? Can I answer that? Because let me tell you something.
Quickly.
The answer to your question is yes. Remember, in the last 18 months, we've seen a huge meltdown. And remember, the securities markets ended up working. The credit markets shut down, but the SEC and the securities markets that they overlooked, they kept operating correctly. Regulations are in the books. They do work. It's all about leadership from the top, which I would argue from Chris Cox on down was not being done in the last 8 years.
Okay.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.